Go ahead and be seated. Find your sermon notes for the day. You can follow along. If you like, fill in the blanks. Most importantly, we'll live out the message that you hear. We're going to try something this morning. I used to do this at my very first congregation. Now, it was a little bitty tiny place, rural Missouri, but every single service, we would begin with Psalm 118, verse 24. Now, the way that it works is, as I say the first part, right here in your notes and up on the screen so you can't miss it, you do the second part. Now, the thing that we're not going to do, we're not going to do the wave like we did there, but we'll do the words, okay? So, let's try it. This is the day the Lord has made. And you're just like them. We'd have to do it again because you didn't say it like you meant it. So let's try it again. This is the day the Lord has made. All right. And yet, I am 100% confident that all of you still didn't mean it. Because, right, not every day is as good as others. Because there is that infamous bumper sticker, which I will modify from the King's English to Church English, stuff happens, right? Stuff happens. And when stuff happens, we don't feel so much like rejoicing. So I'm going to give you an example. This did not happen to me, but this happened to my identical twin brother about 18 years ago. And because we shared a womb together, we still have a lot of the same feelings and emotions. So I felt his pain of a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. It all began actually the night before his terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. He was in Memphis, where he lives. He was going to go on a mission trip to India. Great reason to rejoice, but that night there was a thunderstorm. Now, this is 18 years ago. There was a power surge. And his television set was fried, no longer usable. The very next morning, he got up, was going to go on his trip. He had everything packed. Remember, 18 years ago, no iPhones in those days. He needed a digital camera. He had one, but he discovered that it was not working. So he went out to the car to start. He's going to go to one of the drugstores. He's going to get one of those little box cameras that are disposable. But his car would not start, and he had to have it towed. Well, he finally got everything packed, got to the airport. Because of the thunderstorm the night before, all the planes are delayed. 2-hour wait. Well, the time comes for him to get on the plane. He still has a nice window of time. He's going to be able to make the connection in Chicago to India. But the very nice attendant there tells him, you know, instead of going to Chicago and waiting there in that very busy airport, you can just remain here in Memphis for another couple of hours. We have another plane, and then you can make a very smooth connection in Chicago. So he agrees to do that, but unfortunately, when he gets to Chicago, that window of time has been missed, and he misses his plane to India altogether. But then he thinks, not all is lost. I know someone in the Chicago area. Now, that would be moi, right? And he thinks, it's only an hour away to Crystal Lake. I could run up there. We could spend a nice evening together, and I'll fly back to Memphis in the morning. Unfortunately, the bus service, which some of you remember in those days, would go to the Holiday Inn on a schedule, had left early. And he missed the bus. And he decided, rather than try his luck any further, he remembered the old bumper sticker, stuff happens. He gave up, and went back to his hotel. The end of a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. So raise your hand if stuff ever happens to you. It does, doesn't it? And so some days it is irritating stuff. Some days it is annoying stuff. Point to the person next to you, like you, right? Sometimes it is body-slamming, debilitating stuff, isn't it? Like conflict, like disease, and even death. What I want you to know today is this premise, that joy and the ability to rejoice is not centered around the events of our life, nor the circumstances that occur to us. But joy is God-centered. And no matter what happens in a day, no matter how terrible you feel, no matter how bad things seem to go, you still can rejoice, because indeed this is the day that the Lord has made. I want to give you an example, not just an event or a circumstance, but a real life. Now, one of my favorite Christian authors is Max Lucado. He's a pastor in San Antonio, Texas. I read a lot of his books. We've done some of his sermon series here. He talks about a man that he came to know in one of his books, The Applause of Heaven. His name is Robert Reed, and Robert Reed, every morning, wakes up with this affirmation. He says, I have everything I need for joy. Max Lucado says that Robert Reed is one of the most optimistic, most positive, joy-filled people that he knows, which is amazing because Robert Reed has cerebral palsy. His hands are like claws. His feet are useless. He can't comb his hair by himself. Can't brush his teeth by himself. He can't ride a bike. He can't drive a car. And yet every morning he wakes up and he says, I have everything I need for joy. His disease did not stop him from getting a degree from high school and going on to college, to Abilene Christian University. His disease, his disability, did not prevent him from graduating magna cum laude in, of all things, a Latin. It didn't prevent him from teaching at a junior college in St. Louis, Missouri. Did not prevent him from going on 5 missionary trips around the world. One of those was to Portugal, where he moved alone. He lived in a hotel. Even though he could not feed himself, he found a restaurant nearby where he could push his wheelchair. And after the rush hour, the owner would feed him. And he also taught him Portuguese. Max Lucado talks about the time when Robert Reed was speaking in front of a large audience, and they wheeled him up there to the platform, and they lifted him up out of the wheelchair, gave him a seat, and he watched, he says, as they placed a Bible in his lap. He watched as Robert Reed used those clawed fingers, those stiff fingers, to turn the pages of the Bible. And he watched then as Robert Reed lifted that useless hand. And he said to all of those who had gathered, not give me your pity, not feel bad for me, but his message again was, I have everything I need for joy. Here is a man whose shirts are held together by Velcro, but his life is held together by joy. Joy is a decision that we make every single day when we center not on our circumstances or the events of our life, not on the bad things, nor even on the good events, but rather when it's centered on the life and joy that Jesus alone can provide. You see, the source of joy depends on your orientation to life. It has nothing at all to do with the events of your life, but it has everything to do with who's in charge. For Robert Reed, Jesus Christ was in charge. You know, we have this psalm here as our text for this morning. You need to know just a little bit of context about it. Now, you can check this out. Go to Google, because Google has all the answers. It's the exact center of the Bible. The exact center, verse 24, Psalm 118. Because Jesus is the center of our life. He came to bring life and joy that is found in no other. Now, in the Jewish religion, during the Passover celebration, Psalms 113 and 114 are read before the meal, 15, 16, and 17 are read during the meal, and 118 is read after the meal. Do you know any Jewish people? Do you know Jesus was a Jew? What do you think Jesus and his disciples were reading at the Last Supper? Psalm 118. Earlier that week on Palm Sunday, when Jesus was riding in all of his glory into Jerusalem on the donkey, and the people were waving the palm branches, and they were placing their cloaks along the road, they were shouting, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Do you know where that comes from? Psalm 118. And what would they be shouting in just a few days later on what we call Good Friday? No longer, "Blessed is the one," but rather, "Crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas." And Jesus reminded them that the cornerstone would be rejected. He quotes Psalm 118, the verses that we heard earlier. And he pointed out to the Pharisees and all of those who had been shouting, "Blessed is he," and will soon shout, "Crucify. I am the cornerstone. And though you have rejected me, even though this will be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, because I am going to my death, God will make it the foundation of your salvation. And even in the face of death, there will be life. Even in the midst of darkness, there will be light. And every single day, God can redeem and turn it into something filled with joy. Because Jesus Christ has come to bring us the abundant life. Salvation, forgiveness. The Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. In this place that we call heaven, that he has prepared for us one day to return to him. Now, let me ask you again. Is this the day that the Lord has made? Let us rejoice. How will we do that? On the day when your car doesn't start, on the day when there are 3 feet of snow outside and you have an appointment to make, on the day when you hear that you have the big C, on the day when you have a fight with your spouse, on the day you lose your job. How are we going to express that joy even in the midst of sadness and sorrow? Well, we're going to begin this way. We're going to begin each day with God. Now, of course, a lot of you already begin with prayer. You already begin with the devotion, and that is awesome. I'm going to give you a little exercise. So I want you all to stand up. Stand up. Imagine yourself now. It is tomorrow morning, whatever time that you get up, you roll out of bed. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go into the bathroom. Now, don't imagine too much, but instead imagine the mirror and you are looking into it. Imagine what you look like first thing in the morning. And if you're like me, that will either create a cringe or a smile, because imagine this, but not again too much. Me in the morning, my hair is everywhere, what little bit I have of it. It's going all directions. My eyes have these nice dark bags underneath them. And I look in the mirror and I laugh. And then I say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what I want you to do tomorrow. And all through the day, no matter what is happening, and the day after that, and the week after that, and the month after that. Now go ahead and sit down once again. We're going to talk about, for just a couple of minutes, making the worship of God the priority of your life. Now, it's not like the little book that came out a number of years ago. How many of you remember the one-minute manager, anybody? The one-minute manager, then there was the one-minute executive, and the one-minute mother, and the one-minute father, and the one-minute scolding, and on and on. This idea of just taking a little bit of time and the ability then to fix things. And that works somewhat, but joy is much more than just 1 minute with God. It's more than just that 1 minute in the morning. It's more than just a 1 minute devotion. It's more than just the 1 minute Bible study. It's even more than the one minute sermon today. The 1 hour worship service, the one day of the week. Joy is the echo of God's life within us. So often in this life, we seek after things like joy and peace and happiness and love. But the way that it really works is that it finds us. Joy finds us as we journey through life, looking at it with new eyes. So what I want you to do is to look like you did in the mirror in that exercise, not look with your eyes, but look with God's eyes. You see, in the morning, God doesn't see this haggard, sleepy fellow. He sees a child of God for whom he sent his son, whose life has been redeemed. He sees someone that he loves so much that Jesus would go and die on that cross, where he would be beaten. He would be rejected, so he could become the foundation of my life forever. You see, it's kind of like the expeditions for lost treasure. You watch these on television now, they have the sophisticated sonar equipment and they can find treasure from the Spanish galleons that had sunk centuries before. Now the diver can go down, and before, when he couldn't find the sunken treasure, because it's all covered with barnacles and all kinds of sea creatures, the sonar penetrates that veneer. And the gold can be found. So often, this is true of our own life, isn't it? We look only at the circumstances, at the veneer, at the surface of what's happening every day. And we see the crying children. We see the dying grandmother. and we see the conflict in our relationships. But if we have God's eyes, we can see so much more. And so for my brother 18 years ago, the world would see this haggard traveler. They would see a lost opportunity to go to the people of India. But God saw it as an opportunity to teach patience and to look right around him at the opportunities. A lot of you know that my brother is over an operation called Transforming Churches Network. And one of the things that he does now is he teaches discipleship, and he teaches people to look at their everyday circumstances, at their current relationships, and for opportunities to share the gospel. And a lot of that came from 18 years ago when he was there at the airport and just seeing all the people that are walking around. He opened up his Bible and he began to read it. And a few people were curious, you know, what are you doing? And it was an opportunity to share that there is a God who loved them. And he took the time, even the busyness of that schedule, even in that moment when he knew that he wouldn't be able to catch his plane, to tell someone about the love of Jesus Christ. The world would look at Robert Reed and they would see this disfigured, this disabled, this man with all the lost opportunities of a vocation. But God saw someone, not that we should have pity for, but someone who could truly touch the lives of others, because they would focus on his words and his heart and not his face and his hand. Joy finds us as we journey through life, looking at our life through God's eye. In just a moment, we are going to welcome you, the members of Emmanuel, to come forward and to make a commitment. If you look at the pictures there in our entryway, you see some drawings. If you go out there and you see the flags that are planted, you begin to see a picture of this fabulous extension to our building. And it's a marvelous thing to see, but God sees so much more. He sees all the people that will fill that building, and he will see those people who are filled with the light of Jesus Christ. And he will see them going out into this community and to wherever God takes them, so that other lives may be filled with the same light of Jesus Christ. The world will look at all of the circumstances, and they look at all the bad things that happen and all the conflicts. But as the people of God, we can see through God's eyes and rejoice regardless of the circumstances. And as you make your commitments, it is not something that you have lost, but it is what you have gained through the power of our God. So let's leave sadness and darkness and all of those things to the devil and his angels. As for us Christians, as the people of God, what can we be but rejoicing and glad? So let's try it one more time. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. This morning we have the special privilege of welcoming new members.